Good morning. Sure is good to see everybody, and this weekend, Whitney and I, and Rick and Rachel have spent time in Franklin, Tennessee with the National Freedom Prayer Conference, and it was very good and uplifting and honestly a little intimidating and overwhelming, and a good reminder of how powerful prayer is. And There oftentimes, I'll speak for myself, there are things that seem to be, sometimes I may equate importance with complicated, right? That if it's important, it's got to be complicated. And I think we can certainly do that. And more and more, I think about streamlining. I think of non-negotiables. What are the things that are, there is no negotiation with God or how we approach things. And really, what is the most important things that we get out? God references those as the weightier matters, and the straining at a gnat swallowing a camel. What are those? And have I grown up being taught those? That what is important, that those things aren't necessarily not important, but how does that work? Like, what are the hierarchy of that God put in place, not that we've created to kind of streamline and be efficient. And there's nothing wrong with those two things, streamlining and being efficient, as long as it's not at the cost of the things of mercy, justice, and, as we'll talk and continue our discussion today, of compassion. And so often it's the things that are simple, that are easily overlooked, the power of prayer. And I think that comes across in how we have been educated about the topic, maybe even from in a church setting. I've often talked about, when you see tragedy, there's a lot of mocking, ironically, on social media, which doesn't accomplish a whole lot, of thoughts and prayers. And, that those things don't accomplish anything, and the ranting and raving on social media, I guess, is supposed to, and doesn't really, right? You can set your watch to it. Oh, something terrible happened. Here comes this group or this group. They're going to make it political. They're not going to make it, And so what do we cut to the chase on, right? And Jesus does, as always, a phenomenal job of doing just that, cutting right to the point. And maybe as a preacher, I'm not really good at that. Maybe as a parent as well. But what do I want to model? If I want my kids to have compassion for one another, right, I have to check myself and go, are you modeling compassion to them? Because they're going to make choices. They may make choices based on, I don't want to be anything like mom and dad. And so, but that's influence. I'm still influencing them. Or maybe they're like, man, mom and dad got it absolutely right. That's how I'm going to do it. And that's how I'm going to do it in every situation. And maybe that's not the way it needs to be. We can get locked in, right? As a coach, I would get in, oh, this is how it's going to be. And I would be stiff-necked against any kind of change. And that really, we can't afford to be that, right? As the church, there's a continual reforming. We want to continually be looking at the things we're doing and make sure that they're accomplishing the things that God says, hey, this is important. This is a non-negotiable. There is no nuance to this. This is how it must be. And we find, I believe, one of those in the calling of Matthew. As we find in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. We touched on this a little bit last week. We'll pick up there in verse 9 of chapter 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus, his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means." Now, that would be somewhat of a little bit of shade maybe there from Jesus. I don't want to read too much into this, but he is talking to the Pharisees when he tells them, you need to go and learn what this means. They're familiar with it, I'd be willing to guess. But what does it really mean, especially in this context? Calling the tax collector, Matthew. Matthew is getting a taste of what this means. It really is for everybody. Hey, if the Pharisees need to go learn what this means, what does that mean to everybody who hears this, including us today? Jesus has a desire for us to learn what it means from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so he wants us to have the perspective that lines up with God's perspective. The New Testament itself, and really the Old Testament as well, is about aligning ourselves with the perspective of God. I had a friend text me this week, and I can't remember exactly the command. I want to say it's the greatest command, or the one that's like to it. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, man, that is a doozy. And I said, all the commands are, right? If they just came naturally to us and they were easy for us to do, there'd be no need for a command. Right? And I go back, however you feel about men's and women's roles, like I tell Whitney all the time, God commands men to lead because we wouldn't. I'm perfectly happy with somebody else doing it. Right? That's my default. Like, you mean you don't want me to have the responsibility to, oh, that's great. This is awesome. This is wonderful. I would gladly let whoever wants to step into this role, right? I would like to keep away from that as much. Like now it's, all of us are built differently, right? But the commands are commands because we have to hear them. We need to hear them over and over and over and over again. We just do. And so when we have those commands, when Jesus goes, go and learn what this means, we should perk up. And he quotes Hosea 6:6. Now, who did Hosea, how do we know, what do we think of when we think of Hosea? Well, if you're not familiar, right, he's commanded to go and marry a prostitute. Someone who is unfaithful, is going to be unfaithful, that is promiscuous, that is paid for that. Right? The oldest profession in the book, or as they say, right? Compassion. I want you to understand how I feel when you are unfaithful to me. That, and what is unfaithfulness? I think God's pretty clear, especially in the prophets, unfaithfulness to God is mistreating your neighbor. Those who are least able to take care of themselves, the ones who are run over by society, the ones who are left out, the casted out, the ones that you would have normally would have nothing to do with. Right? You might even quote scripture as to why I have nothing to do with those people. It doesn't mean they're less than. It doesn't mean that their soul is not valuable in the eyes of God. God has all the evidence of the world to have nothing to do with Travis Creasy. Like, logically, you can make reason. I can reason with God. Like, why do you have anything to do with me? Right? There are all these things. Like, Peter, right? Jesus comes. They pull the nets full. And what does Peter say? Get away from me. I'm a sinful person. I have no business being in your presence. Isaiah, right? I'm of unclean lips. I can't do, you know, I have a desire to do what you tell me to do, but I just can't. I can't do it. Moses, I'm not a talker. I can't do this. Who made your mouth? Who gave you value and ability, right? And people would have flipped out if they make that connection between Moses and Gomer, right? I mean, like, but it's perspective. That's what Jesus is talking about there. I know without Jesus, I am nothing. Perspective. Thankfully, before God, it's not the laundry list of reasons why he should have nothing to do with me. It's love because that's who he is. It's who he is. There is no real because. It's who he is. I don't know that people can look at me and go, well, Travis Creasy's just love. Just love. Oh, it's something I have to work at, right? God commands us to love him because that does not come easy for me. Right? We look at the devastation around the world and the sin and the awfulness of and the darkness of the world. And what does mankind do? Even people who don't believe or even looking for reasons, they shake their fist at God. God, how dare you do this? And so we're commanded to love God. Commands us to love our neighbors, ourselves. Because that does not come naturally. Some of us are better than others. But I need to hear those commands, right? I need, like, and really what is compassion? It's sacrifice. It's sacrificing what I want right now for the betterment of someone else. We can all justify not doing the thing we ought to do. I have a PhD in that, right? I don't have a piece of paper, but I'm really good at well, I didn't do that because I, A, didn't want to. And then I could figure out ways to make me sleep at night. Right? The sacrifice. It really is the real sacrifice. Don't bring me the blood of bulls and goats. Don't bring me that stuff. All the while, treating human beings created in the image of God like trash. Like they don't have the value and purpose that I've given them. You know, it's really hard for me to see people with purpose and value that God has given them if I don't see it in the guy in the mirror. And I don't rehash the things. Hey, God, I need you. I need you to tell me how valuable I am. Maybe not today because I'm feeling pretty good, right? But at some point, that's going to need to come home to roost. And so help me to see everybody that I interact with the way that you see them. The way that you see them. How can Jesus hang on the cross and look at the people who drove the nails? I mean, like literally drove the nails, not like when we sing, I drove the nails. Yes, I'm represented there. But the literal ones who caused him pain had the ability to do what he would with them. And instead, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's some of that passeth all understanding stuff. And I want to be there, not on the cross, per se. But I want to reach that point. And in the process, we're justified by what Jesus did on the cross, and we're the sanctification process is a continual one. A continual one. I spent a lot of time in Bible class talking to these teenage boys and trying to connect and go, listen, hey, don't look at me as any better than anybody else, because man, I was a teenage boy, and you guys, from what I can see, right? I can't see your heart. But from what I could see, you're a lot years ahead of where I was when I was your age. And I don't tell you that to puff you up. What I'm saying is if I ever come across like I'm hammering you, and I'm just speaking from an experience. Like, I know what runs through your head. And it's pretty terrifying, right? I think of the things I thought then. I think of things I think now. And I go, man, where'd that come from? Whoa. You know, that's not of you, Lord. I submit that to you and before you. Because I want to be consumed with the idea of compassion. He goes on. He talks about the question of fasting here. It rolls right in. Then his disciples of John came to him asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch on an unshrunk cloth or an old garment, right? We get into this, and it's easy to get lost for me. For the patch pulls away from the garment, and worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. I love the fact that they're talking about fasting, and he immediately goes and uses the example of wine, which would be associated with, could be associated with self-indulgence, right? Like, here's the deal. What I'm presenting to you is different. And it is going to, in this, blow up a lot of your preconceived structures, right? And the structures that in themselves, a lot of them are not bad. They're just what you constructed, and you've probably taken them a bit far, right? We talked about the speed limit, right? There's some of us who are letter of the law people, right? It's 55, that's what we're going to do. Right? Some of us are like, oh, it's a spiritual law. As long as you're safe, right? As long as it's safe and you're not being reckless, you can add a few extra to that. And we won't get into that debate, but that's an agreement we make, right? We're going to set the 55 miles an hour. We accept there will be this many accidents, this many deaths in the what? Idea of efficiency, right? That our Doritos get there a little fast, as fast as we want them to be there, right? Or whatever, fill in the blank. Many more important things than that. But we make that agreement. And what Jesus is talking about is like, let's make sure that our agreements that we've all agreed upon, we don't forget the least of these. And how do we do that? The Hebrew writer puts it, remember those who are in prison as though what? You are in prison with them. Remember where you were before Jesus came in the clutch for you. And that's something that we stay in contact with, right? A lot of this is to remind us where we were. It's also a lot of joy in that, right? Like, I remember where I was. I was indebted. There's no way I could pay the debt that he paid. And that I have confidence that if he didn't want anything to do with me, he had all the reason in the world not to do anything with me. And instead, while I was yet a sinner and lost and on my way, on the highway to hell, he stepped in and said, no, that does not have to be the way it goes. You know how many people out there today feel like they're on the highway to somewhere and they just need one person. One person. To step in and go, that's not how that has to be. You have a different purpose. You have a different outcome that's just there for the taking. But we have to come along and remove some kind of burden, whatever it is, that's an obstacle from them. And who knows what it might be. The possibilities are, as Jesus tells, limitless. Jesus says, I'm willing to associate with people that no one else will associate with, literally all of us, by the way, so that some of them might understand how lost they are without me. And once again, it's one of those things, right, that we have conferences about evangelism, and I'm not against conferences. Lord knows I go to CYC every year, right? We had Freedom Prayer Conference we were at. We go and we want to learn the best practices when sometimes it's just simply going, hey, I'm going to sit here right with you. And I don't know what you're feeling and I'm not a counselor. I don't know what, but I'm here with you. You're not alone. Right? It's sometimes, well, I just need this. Well, let's pray right now. Well, I don't know what to pray about. Me neither. We're in this together. All right, we'll just fill it out together. Man, simple, right? I don't know if you guys understand or not, but you're sitting in a room with a very popular person, a rock star in my thoughts anyways. I don't know about you guys. If you've ever come to a school day and you walk around the hallways, you're going to run into these people and they love this guy, right? And the guy's name is Tom Deal, right? Like, I remember when I was the cool guy at school, right? And then Tom Deal came. And you know what it, you know what it is? It's just simple stuff. Just simple stuff, right? Simple stuff. Sandy remembers, right? Like, working in the cafeteria, you feed people. Oh, my goodness, you're the greatest thing ever, right? They're the two greatest cooks that my kids have run into are Whitney Creasy and Miss Jessica, right? Like, man, Mom, this is like Miss Jessica's stuff. Okay? I don't know how much theology Tom's covering, right? But they love him like it's crazy. And you know what? That goes a long way. Because guess what he knows? They all know. He loves me, right? It can be very simple. And I am the chief of trying to make it more difficult than it has to be, right? Sometimes it's just being present and being attuned. Like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. And I am the chief of that guy. Man, I read that Good Samaritan, and how many times am I the guy? Well, I got to go get this done. And even after, like, if I get this done, then I can come back. And sometimes, hey, there are things, right? There are things. There are chaos. Man, sometimes it's a lot easier than we make it out to be. We have to make it some big thing. And Jesus didn't really, you know, Jesus was the big thing. And very rarely in Scripture do you get him going, hey, I'm the big thing, right? When it's not predated by something simple, right? Now, there are things that are simple to him that are difficult to us. But there are certainly things when he tells these, go and learn what this means. It's learnable, right? It's learnable. It's the same thing with those commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's doable. It's within the realm of possibility. He's not going to ask us, right? Right? And if he does ask us things that we can't do, he's going to fill in the gaps, right? And so there are going to be those moments, Lord, I'm trying to love you with all I got, man, and today I just blew it. He goes, I know you did, right? Yeah, you're going to. When people look at you, what do they see? Right? Is it compassion? Right? I have to work on my face sometimes, you know, because it's what people see first. Like, does that person care? It's usually right here. Man, and it's just a process. It's a process. And man, I hope you don't have to get leukemia to be more compassionate. But that's one of the great outcomes of that, right? If I can look at it and go, you know what? I care a lot more about what people are going through than I did before. And I thought I did before, you know? And that's the beauty of God's triumphantness, is that it's through those things that we come out the other side. Those are the people that impact us, the ones we know are going through hell on earth, and they're still concerned with what's going on with you. Man, it just moves mountains. Maybe not literal ones, but it moves spiritual mountains. What about Matthew? What if Jesus just keeps on trucking by that tax collector booth? There's tons of people there, probably. At least there had been. Instead, you follow me. A personal invite. You ever had a personal invite to something and it was like, all right, that's awesome. Now you come up here and sit with me. You know, you sit with me. I want you to be where I am. Do you know that everybody in this room has a personal invite like Matthew got? Think about how many people have read the Gospel of Matthew. Because Jesus did not determine Matthew's value based on his performance, like everyone else apparently had in these Pharisees. How dare you eat with that person and associate with that person? And we have the gospel because he did. Right, we have this before us today. What has God got planned for you? And maybe you've sat there and thought, is he really inviting me? He's inviting you. He means you. You. All right. By the way, we have a trough now to baptize people in, thanks to Daniel Eldridge. Right? And we can do that. We'd love to do that here. It's pretty outside. Probably great at the river today. But you're being invited. This is the invitation. I'm sorry if I botched the presentation of it, because I do that sometimes. But my performance does not negate the invitation. And maybe you've been a Christian a long time. You've been a Christian longer than I've been alive. That's awesome. Thank you for your example, for being here today, because I need it. I need to learn. There's so much I have to learn, and you're teaching me. But today, maybe you don't feel like a teacher. Well, understand, like, it's not performance-based. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woohoo! Right? It's Jesus-based. Do I trust him today? Do I trust him with the thing I'm struggling with? Because we all got them. The difficulty is voicing them and letting them know. Maybe it's something simple that we can step into your life and remove maybe a boundary or, and I'm not even talking about theologically. I'm talking about like physically. There's something that seems to be in the way. Maybe there's someone in here who's been gifted by God to come along and just kick that thing over, you know, or knock it out of the way or fix it. There are people here who are talented people because God's given them those gifts. We're going to get a great opportunity to honor a great couple that's come to be with us today. And another great opportunity to that is we have time to fellowship and share of the things in our life that are going on. And I hope that you would let somebody know that's a privilege and a blessing to us that you would be willing to open up about things in your life that could be better. I don't always have the great questions, and I'm certainly not a mind reader. You can ask Whitney. She knows that. But if there's anything you're willing to share with us, we, first of all, honor you in that, in your willingness to share. That is a big deal. Like the Bible, like the angels rejoice about those. Like confession is good for the soul. There's scripture to back that up. And so if you're struggling, welcome to the party. You're not alone. We're here with you. But we can struggle together, and we can struggle together really well. I've seen it. I've been here a long time. But we have to be known. Let us know if you feel so inclined. You have that relationship with God. You can tell him right where you're at. You don't need me. I'm not an extra obstacle, and I never would want to be. But if I can assist you, and this body can be the hands and feet of Jesus, it's literally why we're here. It's why we exist. It's why we do the jobs we do, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever we go. if we're not being that, you need to let us know that too. Like, we want to be better, the best that we can be in stepping into a dark world and being a light. So if any of that hits home, man, I just threw it out there, throwing paint against the wall, see what sticks. If any of that, or there's something else I didn't mention in the way that we can help you, we're going to give you the opportunity. We want to encourage you in this song as we sing. We're also going to pass the microphone so that you can share. I know that is not everybody's party, like microphone in the face. That is not. But pull one of us aside. We'd love to pray for you, love to assist you if we can as we stand and sing.